Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures, the solo actual play podcast where stories are told at the speed of dice. With me, Steve Morrison, your game master and solo player. Now come on, let's grab the dice and see where our story goes. Welcome to Chapter 8 of Book 1, Meridian. Last time, Sejana prepares to fight back against the assassin while Ainur attempts first aid on her. He's successfully able to staunch some of the bleeding right before she leans out from behind cover to return fire. She and the assassin shoot simultaneously, wounding each other badly. As the assassin attempts to recover and aim, Sejana lines up her own shot and kills him. We don't know the assassin's identity yet, but we do know that he and Sejana crossed paths before. He lost last time, and now has paid the ultimate price for seeking his revenge. While Sejana is rushed off to the hospital, where she will stay recovering for 4 days before being returned to the wolf for bed rest, Ainur washes off her blood, changes, and heads to his meeting with Mr. Zhang. The business owner wants to know why there have been 2 shootouts in his docking berth in the last week, why Sejana Lushael still has quarters aboard the ship, and why Ainur took the wolf for a joyride to Felicia without authorization. As we rejoin Ainur Stargleam sitting in the office of Mr. Zhang, owner of the business that operates the Howlin' Wolf, Ainur has just been faced with a direct question from the owner of his company and his superior. He takes a moment and looks down at the liquid in the glass that he's holding, and he swirls it a little bit. Ainur has worked for Mr. Zhang for a few years now, and so they have built a rapport in that time. And so while Ainur is thinking and looking at the swirling liquid in the glass in front of him, Mr. Zhang sits at his desk, leans back in the plush chair, and waits. Finally, Ainur brings the glass up to his lips and sips, and then looks across the desk at Mr. Zhang and says,
"So, there are a few answers to your questions. First of all, I made the authorization to take the wolf to Felicia. And I did so knowing that I would be costing the company money, that I would be costing you money. I did try to find something to transport from here to there to offset some of the costs, but time was short and no opportunity presented itself. So I made the decision to lift off. No one else had a part in that decision.
But why, Ainur? Why did you take the wolf to Felicia? There was no reason for it that I can see."
"We had a reason, Mr. Zhang. Our liar, Lushael, she was working a contract and came across some information that indicated that GenCorp had created a faulty batch of Enomyosin. That's why there was that first shootout. Some thugs from GenCorp came and tried to take the information from her, take the contact that she had made who provided her that information. Try to take him by force, and make no mistake, sir, they fired first. Lushael defended herself. And then, having determined that this information was authentic, she decided to do something about it. Ayadi and I, we wanted to help. She tried to talk us out of it. Again, I made the final decision to use the wolf. And for that, I apologize. I know I've cost you a considerable amount of money in doing so. And I understand that you're going to have to take action because of that. But I want you to know that the reason we did it was to do the right thing. To try and stop GenCorp from sending out this faulty enelmyosin and getting people sick or worse. As for this latest shootout, I have no idea why. I can only assume that, well, I assume that you have seen the report from Sarai Newtone about GenCorp and this corruption of data. Well, that information came from Lushale and from us and what we did in orbit around Felicia. So I can only assume that someone with GenCorp wanted to get revenge against Lushale. They sent someone to assassinate her, and I don't know if you've ever seen a member of the Imperial Special Service at work, but she's incredible. Everything we did, sir, everything I chose to do, was for the good of Cassada, because it was the right thing to do. Whatever you decide to do with me, my conscience is clear. Mr. Zhang leans back in his chair and thinks for a moment. It's his turn to study the liquor swirling in his own glass. He sets it down without drinking, looks across the desk at Einar. And I don't actually know what's going to happen here, because I'm not sure what Mr. Zhang's politics are, what his leanings are, what his interest in the common good is. So I think we should make a roll, maybe a couple of rolls here. And I think that Einar should make a roll to describe what he's done and see how effective he is at conveying this information. It could be persuade, which would make sense. But Einar has the diplomat skill. And taking a look at the diplomat skills for negotiating deals, establishing peaceful contact, and smoothing over social faux pas includes how to behave in high society and proper ways to address nobles. It is a much more formal skill than persuade. So I think that Einar can use his diplomat skill here instead of persuade. And that's mostly because Einar doesn't have any training in persuade, so he would take a pretty sizable penalty to this role. But instead, I'm going to let him use his diplomat, which honestly he has a zero in, because he has a zero level skill training in it. So it is trained, but he doesn't have any kind of points towards training. And diplomat here is going to be based off of social, and his social doesn't have a modifier either. So he's going to be rolling at just a straight zero. But because Einar has worked for Mr. Zhang for a while, I think I'm just going to set the difficulty at a target number of 6. So we're going to roll 2d6, see what happens. Oh yeah, of course. Of course. So we've got a 3 on the dice, which is a failure. Because of that, Mr. Zhang is unimpressed. And so he is looking at the glass, considering Einar's words, and then he sets the glass down without drinking from it, looks up and says, "Einar, I'm very disappointed. When I hired you, I told you there was only one thing I respected, and that was efficiency. Efficiency towards the job. You can do what you like on your own time, but when you're on my time, you're flying my ship. You have to be efficient. And taking a joyride to Felicia, whatever your aims were, is not a good look for me. It takes thousands of rue to fire up my ship, launch it into space. You might as well have taken a full cargo load out into the deep and spaced it. That's how much efficiency I've gotten out of you because of this transaction of yours. Now, what to do with you?" Here's the second question.
Is Mr. Zhang going to fire Einar Stargleam? Before, I would have said that it was unlikely, because I think they have built this business relationship. Because Einar failed that diplomat role, I'm going to say it is 50-50. So 50 or less will be a yes. 58. It's close. So that's a no, but I think there is a consequence here. So Mr. Zhang says, I'm not going to fire you, Einar, not for this. But I've lost money because of your actions. And so you're going to have to repay that money. Einar nods and says, of course, that's only fair. I really appreciate it, Mr. Zhang. I'm not done yet. Until you have repaid that money, your salary will be docked. And I'm going to keep you on a very short leash, Einar. You will go where I say, with my ship, on schedule. And if you deviate from that schedule at all, in any way, you might as well put your resignation in before you land the ship. Because you will be finished. Efficiency, Einar. That's what I'm after. That is how we make money in this environment. I can't have you taking the wolf on excursions. Do you understand?
I understand. Yes, sir.
Good. Now, as far as the liar goes, she's off the ship.
Mr. Zhang, please. I understand your concerns where Lu Shale stands, but she has been an asset to our ship before. It's handy to have someone aboard with her military experience in case we do come across pirates or some other trouble. This is the first time in 6 months that her contracts have so directly impacted us. Please, she saved my life and possibly Ayadi's life. Please let me keep her aboard. If anything else comes up like this, I promise I will put her out. But please.
I think it is unlikely that Mr. Zhang is going to budge on this, so that'll be 25 or less. 15. Okay. So Mr. Zhang thinks for a moment and says, all right, Einar. You are correct. It can be useful to have a liar aboard a merchant vessel when traveling to different systems. She can stay, but if she brings trouble anywhere close to my ship again, she's done. And you are too.
I understand, Mr. Zhang. I really appreciate your understanding in this matter.
All I understand, once again, is efficiency. Do the job I give you. Do it well. Do it effectively. And make this company money. And we will continue to have a long and prosperous relationship. But if you step out of line again and put my ship in danger, or take it outside of the routes that it needs to go in order to fulfill our business, I will cancel your contract. And our relationship will be terminated. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly.
Good. You may go. And shipping and receiving has a new job for the Howling Wolf. Please see that it is done promptly and efficiently. Einar stands, nods once, and walks out of the room. In the hospital, Sejana Lu Shale opens her eyes. She can hear the low hum of the medical equipment around her. And she slowly blinks her eyes a few times, clearing the crust of sweat and tears, and looks around. Ayati is sitting in a chair, reading on her cue. And when she notices Sejana stirring, she sits upright and waves a hand dismissing the book on her cue and smiles and says, "Hey, you're awake."
"I am, yes. In the hospital, I assume?"
"Yep, you're in the hospital. Doctors say you're going to heal up quite nice, but you're going to have to take it easy for a few days."
"It feels like I've been punched in the sternum a half dozen times." "I don't recommend it, Ayati."
"No, I don't think you would. Look, are you okay? Like, why would somebody shoot you like that?"
Sejana, even in her weakened, pain-medicated state, smiles wistfully and says,
"It's good to know we made a difference. Enough to anger someone, enough for them to send assassins after me."
"Assassin, yeah. I mean, somebody takes a shot at you like that, I mean, are we all looking over our shoulder?"
"Once they realize they failed, I think they'll either try again or maybe think better of it. Now that I know, it won't be easier next time."
"Right. Well, hopefully there is no next time. Look, I just want to make sure you're going to be okay. Because, I mean, the things are just so much right now. Like, Einar, I think, is going off to get fired by Mr. Zhang. You almost got killed. I mean, is this what liar life is like all the time for you?"
"Pretty much, yes."
"Well, damn. That's a different side of life than what I expected. Definitely didn't think it was going to be this dangerous when you asked me to help. But I'm glad we got through it. All right. I mean, hopefully. I don't know what I'm going to do if Einar loses his job. I don't want to work with another captain."
"Don't worry. I'm sure that Einar is going to talk to Mr. Zhang and we'll smooth everything over. If anything, I'll probably be off the ship."
"No, Einar wouldn't allow that. Not if he's still with the company."
"Well, we'll just see. In the meantime, I appreciate you coming here and sitting with me."
"Of course. That's what crewmates are for."
Sejana reaches a hand out and Ayati takes it and she squeezes it weakly and says,
"I haven't really had friends in a while. It's nice. I didn't realize how much I missed it."
Ayati leans forward and pats her hand and says,
"No worries. We gotcha. Well, I'm gonna go back to sleep now, because I think the drugs are making me a little woozy."
"Yeah, you sleep. I'll be here when you wake up." And Sejana closes her eyes and lays her head back and falls back to sleep.
Einar returns to the Howlin' Wolf, and it's dark and quiet. And he walks the halls into the cockpit. There's no sign of Ayati, but he received a message from her while he was in his meeting that she was at the hospital, waiting for Sejana to wake up. Einar sits down in his seat in the cockpit, looks around, knowing that he's lucky to still have a job. And then he turns and inserts the data disk into the computer and pulls up this new job. So let's roll up this job. So I think it's going to be a fairly straightforward freight transit. And in Traveler, there are a couple different things. You can do freight. You can also do speculative trading. The speculative trading has pretty intense rules, so we're not going to get into that right now. But the freight trading is pretty simple. So there are three different types of cargo. Major cargo, which is one die times 10 tons of freight. Minor cargo, which is one die times 5 tons of freight. And incidental cargo, which is just one die tons of weight. To determine the number of cargo lots available, roll 2d on the freight traffic table 3 times, once each for incidental, minor, and major lots, and apply the following modifiers. The effect of an average 8+ broker or streetwise check. If I'm rolling for major cargo, it's a -4 DM. If it's rolling for incidental cargo, it's a +2 DM. And then there are DMs for the world population, both the source and the destination, as well as the size of your starport, the tech level, and everything else. So I'm going to do a little bit of math here, and then I will do the rolls. Okay, I think if I have done my math correctly, I should have a +8 for my incidental cargo roll, and then +6 for both the minor and major roll. Then we're going to do those individually. So 2d6 +8 for the incidental. 11 +8 is going to be a 19 for incidental. 2d6 +6 for the minor. 6 +6 is 12 for minor cargo, and for major cargo, 4 +6 equals 10. Okay, so if we go to our freight table. So for incidental, a 19 is 9D. So that's 9D of incidental cargo available, 5D of minor cargo available, or a 10, which is 4D of major cargo. A freight lot cannot be broken up. Cargo is paid for upon delivery, assuming it is delivered on time. Failing to deliver cargo on time reduces the amount paid by 1 die plus 4 times 10%. The Howling Wolf is a free trader, so that means it can carry 81 tons of cargo. So I'm going to do a quick little roll here to see what my minor and major cargo turn out to. So 5D, so that's 16 times 5, which would be 80. So that would be perfect. We'd have 1 ton of cargo left over. The major cargo, 4D times 10, 8, 10. So that would be 100 tons of cargo. So yeah, so we have to take the minor cargo. I won't necessarily do this every time on air, but I thought it would be interesting to show off the trade system. So through those rolls, I've determined that there are multiple different lots that I could choose to take. Because I only have 81 tons of cargo and lots can't be divided up, I'm going to take the 80 tons of minor cargo for this mission. So Einur inserts this data disk into the computer, and a whole string of information comes across the screen. He sees that it is scheduled for 80 tons of cargo to be loaded onto the Howling Wolf in the morning. Their destination is the planet Strides, which is in the next sector over from Cassida. Einur looks at this. It's a fairly easy transit through the Celerity conduit, and the listed goods are parts and tools for repairing agricultural equipment. Einur looks over all that stuff, authorizes the transfer to the wolf, and then sits back in his chair and opens up a comm message to Ayati, and he says, Ayati, I hope Lushael is awake by now. I'd really like to know how she's doing. I just want you to know that I still have a job, which is good, but we have a job to do, and we have to leave tomorrow afternoon. So if Lucille's not up and ready to go, we're going to have to go without her. Get back to me. Let me know how things are going. So we know that Sejan is going to have to stay in the hospital for 4 days. So there's no way she's going to get out before the Howlin' Wolf has to embark on this job. A couple of hours later, Ayati calls back and says, "Hey, Cap, just got your message. Lucille's doing all right. She's awake and in recovery, but they're saying they're going to have to keep her here for a few days. So we'll just have to leave her behind and get back as quickly as we can. I'll be back at the ship tonight and be there to help you oversee the loading of the cargo tomorrow, and then we can get on our way. Try to make this as quick and easy as possible. All right. Kaylana out." Sejan is going to be in the hospital for another 3 days after this. Einar and Ayati are going to have to contend with this cargo run on their own, which should be fine, right? It should be fine. I mean, you know, there's probably not pirates floating around this tech level 3 sector, the Strides sector. Yeah, I'm sure everything will be fine. So the following day, Ayati and Einar are waiting outside the Howlin' Wolf when a cargo transport flies overhead. The cargo bay on the top of the Howlin' Wolf slides open, and the cargo transport's bottom slides open, and then a series of drones begin to lower down these large crates. They fill up the cargo bay of the Wolf, leaving practically no space left. And then the cargo ship's doors shut and it leaves back to whatever cargo yard it came from. As they're standing there watching this process go, Ayati says, "Well, Einar, how did it go last night? I didn't have a chance to talk to you when I got in last night. You doing all right?"
"Yeah, I'm all right. I was pretty close to getting fired, but Mr. Zhang saw the benefits of keeping me around. Yeah, he wanted to get rid of Lucille, though, and I talked him out of it, but I'm on thin ice, and so is she. We need to get this job done quick and get back in a timely manner, or Mr. Zhang's going to hold me personally responsible for every moment that we waste. So we've got the cargo. Might as well put in our request to depart. Get ready to make the jump through the conduit."
"All right. Well, let me go ahead and pull together everything that we need for the transit to Strides. I'm glad you didn't get fired. I don't know if I'd stay on this ship if you weren't here." Einar chuckles and says,
"You're too good of a pilot for Mr. Zhang to let go."
"No, I mean, I would quit. I won't work with another captain. And if Lucille gets kicked out, I mean, we really went through something here. I feel like we're a crew in a way that it hasn't felt like we've been in the 6 months she's been on board. Like, we made a difference in this sector."
"Yeah, I hope we did. All right, let's get on board and do what we came here to do."
So they are going to head onto the ship and launch into space. So we're going to make a couple checks. We need to make an astrogation check to plot the jump. It's an easy check with a DM minus equal to the jump distance. It's only a jump distance of 1. So a DM minus 1, Ayati's astrogation is a 1. So a flat roll, we just need a 4. 8 on the die, easy peasy. Firing the jump engine requires an easy 4+ engineer J drive check. Fortunately, Einar Stargleam is our engineer and does have J-Drive as a skill. So it is modified by the task chain of the original astrogation check and the following modifiers. Jump drive not maintained. It is maintained. No worries. It is not using unrefined fuel, so no worries there. Still within the 100 diameter limit. No, they have plenty of time to fly out of the jump limit. If the check is failed, the ship misjumps. We got an effect of 4 on our astrogation check. So that gives a plus 2 DM to this check. Einar has 2 in his J drive skill. So we're already at a plus 4, which means we're going to make this easy jump check. 5 on the dice plus 4 is 9. So the Howling Wolf lifts off from the Heraklion interstellar starport and rises up into the sky. It burns out of the atmosphere and heads away from Devonshire. It's a few hours transit to the entrance point of the Celerity Conduit. Now, I've used that term a few times. Let me explain. The Celerity Conduit is part of a galactic network of inter-system folds in the fabric of space. The Celerity Conduit is the primary means of travel between systems of known space, and it isn't unusual for new hubs to be discovered, although exploration has been on the decline since the fall of Carnopraxis. Most major systems maintain a transit station close to the mouth of the conduit in order to control and monitor incoming and outgoing vessels. Less well-governed systems typically don't care about those comings and goings, unless they have something of value to worry about. It isn't unusual for pirates to set up ambushes near the conduit in order to capture or extort in some of those more lawless systems. The Celerity Conduit is marked by a shifting miasma of spatial distortions. Transit through the conduit to known systems is mostly automated, with standard coordinate uplinks detailing the frequency the engines require in order to reach a specific destination. But for those looking to explore beyond the bounds of known space, there's a modulating frequency that can produce an essentially random jump through the conduit, depositing the ship in a known or potentially unknown destination. My universe differs slightly from Traveler, in that in Traveler, you have jump travel, which involves creating a jump bubble around your ship, and jump travel always takes about a week between parsecs. I toyed with the idea of keeping that, but I don't know that I like the time scale that that presents. So I think what I'm going to do is, instead, I'm going to say that it's about a day's worth of travel between each parsec. Hopefully that will help me kind of keep track of how much time is passing, but also make it so that the transit times between different systems don't take as long and there'll be a little bit more urgency involved. The Howling Wolf approaches the shifting miasm, and because the Cassidan system is incredibly well-regulated system and area, there is, in fact, a contingent of the Cassidan fleet that always sits outside of the Celerity Conduit entrance. Because one can never be sure if a fleet of enemy ships is going to drop out of the conduit into the system and wreak havoc. So there is a long queue that builds up for the conduit as there are ships coming and going all the time. The Howling Wolf slides into the queue and waits its turn, and then finally the ship approaches the border of these rippling, shifting miasm of spatial distortions. And Ayati pushes the throttle forward and sends the Howling Wolf into the Celerity Conduit and on its way to the Al-Katil system. Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word. And if you want to support the show directly, leave me a review or support me on Patreon at patreon.com/errantadventures. You can also buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/errantadventures. If you want to interact with me, my handle on all the socials is @errantsolopod, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post short fiction and campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in the deep, liars.